The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
Our whole goal is working with authors with amazing work, amazing ideas that need a bigger audience. So we work with them to get as much media attention as we can, find their various readerships and figure out where they are getting their information, where they're getting their news. And we try to sort of fit it together like a puzzle. I mean, in a lot of ways, doing book publicity is a puzzle. Like this book, this author, these ideas, and then, okay, how do we fit it into this media outlet? How do we fit it into this radio show? How do we pitch it? And sort of trying to make as many of those types of matches as we can.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your humble host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance per usual. Director of Publicity and Press Shop PR founder Leah Paulo spoke with me about how authors can cut through the noise in a challenging news cycle, when to build your platform, and demystifying the book biz. Leah is the founder and director of publicity at Press Shop PR, an independent book publicity firm in Brooklyn. The Press Shop team has worked on campaigns for over 300 authors since its launch in 2012, including number one bestselling campaigns for On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder, March by Rep. John Lewis, and Welcome to the Universe by Neil deGrasse Tyson. She also recently launched Book Publicity School to bring Press Shop's expertise and guidance to more authors at an affordable price. The school offers workshops, coaching, and online groups to help authors advocate for their work as effectively as possible. Lee has spoken on book publicity at Columbia Journalism School, CUNY Graduate Center, and as part of her regular workshop series, Book Publicity for Literary Agents. In this file, Leah and I discussed why authors need a big, fat book promo spreadsheet, what works in social media now, and what's a waste of time, how and when to build an effective author platform, what kind of promotion an author should expect from their publisher, why a full press media and event campaign doesn't make sense for every author, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates and other resources for writers. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. All right, we are back on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by an esteemed guest. We have the founder and director of publicity of Press Shop PR, and of course, Book Publicity School, hanging out with us. Leah Paulo is here today, and I can't wait to pick your brain. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So what's going on over there these days? I understand you've got a little bit of construction outside of your office, which I'm no stranger to.
Yes. You know, part of working in New York City, they are just putting a townhouse right outside my window. So I am broadcasting from my home today, since I didn't think your listeners would want to hear a jackhammer.
Yeah, it's funny because we have had, so many challenges getting authors from all over the world in quiet places. One instance that I can recall, I think, was a best-selling author who beamed in from the bathroom of her hotel room because there was construction outside of the hotel. Uh-huh. And so she was in the bathtub, and it sounded like she was in in the depths of a cave.
Yeah, not great acoustics in a hotel bathroom.
Not exactly ideal. Yeah, I cannot wait to pick your brain about all things publicity, PR. Let's do kind of a PR crash course. I would love to get your superhero origin story because you are no stranger to the world of publishing and the book business. Of course, you have a long track record of working with well-known authors, but also you were a writer back in the day and an editor for some glossy mags. Talk a little bit about kind of your superhero origins.
All right. Superhero origins. I like that. So I started out in magazines. I am one of the rare independent publicists, book publicists, that was never in-house at a publishing house. Rather, I started on the other side of it. So I was an editor first at a small glossy magazine in New York called Manhattan File, subsequently folded. And then I was at Condé Nast for a long time. I was working as a writer and editor, and that was really just amazing experience for everything I do. I use the skills that I learned there every day in my work at Press Shop and Book Publicity School. You just have to learn to, you know, do things on a deadline, create stories, create perfectly polished copy that's ready to print, and just really figure out, it's sort of a relentless focus on what is the story? What do people want to read about, listen to, click on? So that's where I got my training, really. And then after a couple, you know, many, probably 6, 7, 8 years, something like that, I decided to switch over to publicity. And I got my first author client. I worked with him for 5 years. His name is Frank Delaney. He passed away a few years ago, but just an amazing man. And he had a book a year contract with Random House for 5 books, which doesn't happen too often anymore. And that was my entree into book publicity. And I have been doing it ever since. I was doing it first just under my name, you know, word of mouth, and then took a little bit of time off after my second son was born, and then came back and decided to make it more of a company and launched Press Shop PR in 2012, and have been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
So that's how Press Shop started, and we just launched Book Publicity School last year. So that's a new endeavor that we are really excited about.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to talk about Book Publicity School, which seems like a really valuable resource for authors who are in need of some help breaking through the noise, right? And of course, I want to talk all about how to do that in this so-called crash course that we're going to do here. But yeah, and congrats on the work. I mean, you have had some huge breakthrough hits, obviously some number one best-selling campaigns. I remember for a minute you couldn't throw a rock and not hit a copy of On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder.
Yeah. Yeah. That
was one, a great moment.
Yeah. I mean, it was an awful moment, but also a great, great moment for promoting On Tyranny.
But yeah, a book that passed through my hands, and of course I passed it on. It was just like one that probably everybody should read in this in these strange days.
Sadly, it is still very relevant.
But yeah, you've worked with some really big names, over 300 authors since you launched. And gosh, I mean, Rep. John Lewis, wow. Neil deGrasse Tyson, of course. But yeah, some really, really big named authors. A little bit on the political leaning side, but yeah, talk a little bit about kind of the ethos behind the Press Shop PR stuff.
Yeah. So we do about 85% of our work is nonfiction. Like you said, a lot of it does tend to be somewhat political. Certainly during the first couple of years of the Trump administration, it was almost the proportion of our political books definitely rose. So we, like you said, we worked on tyranny. We did a lot of work with Tom Nichols, who did a book, The Death of Expertise, and was a big Never Trumper. Now he's at The Atlantic. We worked with Brian Kloss, who was also leading the charge against, you know, just really calling Donald Trump out in a really incredible way at the beginning of the first administration. Yeah, we work with also, though, those are a lot of those books. We worked on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's final book as well, which was a true honor. A lot of those big titles are, you know, amazing, amazing campaigns to work with. And we also work with a lot of other books and people that are, you know, their first book. Maybe it's an academic with their first trade book. And we love those books too. We really, our whole goal is working with authors with amazing work, amazing ideas that need a bigger audience. So we work with them to, you know, get as much media attention as we can, find their various readerships and figure out where they are getting their information, where they're getting their news. And we try to sort of fit it together like a puzzle. I mean, in a lot of ways, doing book publicity is a puzzle. Like this book, this author, these ideas, and then, okay, how do we fit it into this media outlet? How do we fit it into this radio show? How do we pitch it? And sort of trying to make as many of those types of matches as we can. We do a lot of books in the about the environment as well. We do higher ed, tech. We do also memoir, some short stories, some fiction. With short stories, fiction, or poetry, we tend to be very picky about it because, and end up having to turn down a lot of amazing work because it is a bit harder to publicize fiction these days. It's not impossible, but it's more of a challenge. So when we take on those books that are literary or, you know, some sort of other genre, even memoir, we just really have to make sure there's a really pitchable story in addition to, oh my God, this is an amazing book. This writing is spectacular. That should be a part of it, but we really have to figure out how to, you know, make it appealing and legible to people who haven't read the book. Mm-hmm. And that can be a little trickier with fiction than it is with nonfiction.
Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on 3 decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories wherever you buy books, and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. Yeah. I mean, again, congrats on the successes that you've had. And with Pressure Out PR, obviously being named Observer's Power 50 a couple times. I know that they had mentioned that you were punching above your weight, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, you're an independent but how do you feel now, you know, that you've had all of these successes? Do you still feel like you're punching above your weight? Do you still feel like you're having this bigger impact than people would imagine?
Well, or, you know, we like to think so. I think that line, which I love, but I think it probably, to be honest, it probably came from the fact that list does have a lot of really big PR firms. It has, you know, like 100 people, and this one has 75. And then there we are with, I think at that point we had 3 or 4. So So now we have 5. So we're a little bit bigger, but still very small compared to the, you know, Ruder Fins and other types of publicity firms that were on that list.
Well, very cool stuff. So I can't wait to talk about getting into the nitty gritty of this kind of PR crash course. So let's start with breaking through the noise. Of course, we want to somehow, you know, separate that signal of what the message of, as you put it, kind of packaging these stories and making them, you know, something that these bigger outlets want to grasp onto it. And so, yeah, talk a little bit about breaking through the noise, especially now, in a seemingly endless 24/7, not only in an election year, as you put it, but kind of like with all these other concentric circles of crises that, well, everybody is seeing on their phones like all the time. Talk a little bit about breaking through the noise and then what's going to work for us.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it definitely, I would say it, this kind of very difficult news environment, it has been going on for a while, and it is just getting worse, sadly. So I think a lot of the things that have always been important, that we've always really pushed, have just gained more importance. So a couple of things. One is that everybody's news feeds, everybody's media intake and information sources are so specific to them. They're personal. Everybody has their own, you know, podcast queue. So that does make it harder in some ways. It makes it harder in that there are fewer outlets that really move the needle across, you know, in a big national way. There are still those outlets, national NPR shows, some of the morning shows, Morning Joe, Ezra Klein, you know, big shows like that. Those still move the needle, but less so probably than before, because, you know, back to the fact that everybody has their own feeds. So whereas before, every time somebody hopped into their car, they would maybe turn on NPR and listen to what's, you know, whatever interview is on. People still do that, but there's a portion of them that are, you know, listening to their podcast feed instead. So what you really need to do is really niche down. You need to figure out where your particular readers are, where your book fits into the media landscape, and really target those spaces. So it requires more work, unfortunately, because it's not like there's that one big hit that you can just land it and then be like, all right, done. Book promotion is over. Check, check, check. Mm-hmm. You really have to be out there. You have to be on this podcast. You have to, you know, get in touch with these people at this big Substack. You want to, you know, still go for those radio hits. You want to try maybe a columnist that covers the themes of your book. So you really need to get down there in the weeds. It's something that we've been doing for a long time because the book, the sort of traditional book coverage, the book review coverage has dwindled. You know, it's really every year has brought a shuttering of a book desk. So there are fewer places to go for just that standard review coverage. So for a long time, we've been, you know, drilling down, we talk about this a ton in book publicity school, is you have to get away from just the book editors. Like, yes, that's a component of a book campaign. If you are publishing with a traditional publisher or an independent or an academic, the in-house publicist will reach out to those book review editors as they should. That's always a part of a campaign. We just always, you always want to think of it as step one and not the only step. You know, that's just the first one. Then you have to go to who's covering your book from a subject point of view, from a theme point of view. How can you get this off the book page coverage where there are more opportunities? So, you know, we've been pounding this point for a long time. It is even more vital now than ever before.
And you mentioned, this is great, because you mentioned Substack, which, you know, 10 years ago wasn't a thing, right? But of course, podcasts have become more relevant than ever. And as you put it, everyone's niching down into their specific interests, but they are holding people's attention. They are, you know, a piece of the ear, as we call it, you know, as we say, you know, we want to get a share of the ear. As a podcaster, yeah. Right? We want to be in your queue. So talk a little bit more about, you know, you mentioned Substack, podcast, but talk a little bit more about social media. What's working now? What isn't? Like, what the hell is going on in social media? Because there's like, it seems like so many landmines, right? And what is a waste of time, and what's actually going to move the needle, as you said?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say, you know, when we do a lot of different workshops at Book Publicity School. And I would say that one of the questions I get the most is, what should I do on social media? Everybody is driving me crazy. The publisher is like, get on social media. Everyone I talk to, get on social media to promote your book. So, and, you know, to some extent that is important. I have no doubt about it. You know, you have to be where people are, and even if you don't think of yourself as a huge social media person, you probably are still checking, you know, Facebook or Twitter, well, you know, X, whatever it is. so you do need to do that, but then the problem I see a lot of authors getting into is because they're getting this relentless sort of amorphous advice, get on social media to promote your book. They're just like, okay, like let me start making videos of myself and just putting them up on TikTok or putting them up on Instagram Reels. And while that's a great, you know, great to take that energy and that motivation and try to do that, I just always urge people to really stop for a second first and be strategic. You have to figure out where your potential readers are and be there and make sure that you're speaking to them. So doing social media doesn't do anything if you don't have people that are your particular readers that are going to be seeing it. You know, you're just basically stressing yourself out, creating content and putting it off into TikTok and maybe randomly getting, you know, 67 teenagers just liking it out of habit. You know, like that doesn't do anything for your book. So you really want to, you know, think about figuring out which platform your readers are on, making sure to build a community there, and then put content out. Now, I will also say that's time consuming. So if you are not sort of willing to do it strategically and also put in enough time to make it worthwhile, you know, it can really be a big energy suck and stressful. It's stressful to have this idea like, oh my God, I should be, you know, going live every time I go into an independent bookstore and saying something really meaningful about my genre so that everyone will like it and buy my book. You know, sure, that can be great, but there needs to be thought and strategy behind it. So that's one thing I would say. On the flip side, I would also say that whatever social media you have, even if it's like, okay, when you first got on Facebook, you connected with all your old high school friends and now you connect with, you know, maybe two people a month and, you know, every once in a while post your kid's birthday or whatever it is, you know, that's still a network that you have. That's still people that know you. So, you know, then maybe go and try and make it a little more lively, you know, in the lead up to publication of your book. So you basically want to think about all the different networks you have. So maybe there's that Facebook group. Maybe there's also, you know, a listserv you have of writers from some workshops that you did. You know, any community of people, you do want to keep those people in mind as like, that's a community that's going to know me, that's going to be interested to know I have a book, and to make sure that some of that news is getting to them. So you really want to think holistically and just be realistic about social media. I think there's always this idea that, or, and you know, this hope that you're going to put some video on there and it's going to go viral. And then, you know, all your readers are going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. Let me buy the book. And you know, that's happened a couple of times. There's some good stories about that, but definitely the exception rather than the rule.
For sure. Interesting stuff. And always an evolving landscape, but not the same as, again, like 5-10 years ago, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and the other thing that's really, you know, really changed too is, and this has to do with social media, is that, you know, publishers just really, they really rely on authors to do a lot of work these days. It's not, the book industry has changed so much over the past 10, 20 years. The media industry has changed so much over the past 10, 20 years, past 2 years, past month. But the publishers, the way they operate now is that they really just expect authors to really take part in their own promotion, to activate their networks, and to be a really active partner in any promotion, and even take the lead in the publicity for their book in a lot of cases. So, you know, then a lot of authors sort of feel like, well, I don't, what do you mean? I don't know how to do that. You know, I'm an author. I'm not a publicist. So it's really important to just know that going in and to sort of start educating yourself, you know, pay attention to what's happening in, with other books in your space. You know, that's one of the things we talk about a lot in Book Publicity School at our workshops, is one way to sort of make a plan for yourself is to pay really close attention to what's happening to other books. So it can feel really overwhelming for authors to think like, oh, I would love to be on this show, and you know, I wish I could be reviewed here. And it all is sort of a little amorphous if you don't understand the mechanics of how these things happen. And one of the best ways to figure it out, or to sort of start to create a roadmap, is to kind of become a little bit of an online sleuth and find some books that are comparable titles to yours. So books that have a similar audience, and actually just map out what happened to them when they published. Like, where did the author speak? What was their social media like? What podcast did they appear on? Did they do any festivals? And, you know, write all that stuff down, put it into a spreadsheet. You know, every author should have a big fat book promotion spreadsheet. I know it is not the sexiest advice ever, but it is so important. And you know, in that spreadsheet, start doing that that detective work, because what it does is it takes it out of the abstract, and you actually see, oh, this book that I would really love to emulate the success of this book with my book launch, and this is how it happened. They went on this show. They did this. Their website looked like this. They posted a lot on LinkedIn for this period. That's a really good step that anybody can do, and that puts you a little bit more into the mindset of publicist. You know, we do this kind of stuff every day at Press Shop. You know, the beginning of every campaign, we do a lot of comp title research. We do a lot of going down these rabbit holes online. And it's something that we, you know, teach authors to do for themselves at, you know, in our workshops.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Comp title, rabbit holes, and of course, that roadmap that you talk about, becoming an online sleuth and your own advocate, the big fat book promo spreadsheet sounds like intimidating for a lot of people, but really, really necessary, right? And you know, and you've had some amazing successes. I thought it was cool that, you know, that it had been noted that you got a New York Times book review of an independently published book. I Hate the Internet, right? Yeah. And Jarrett Kobach. Yeah, had said that the best recommendation anyone had ever given him for anything was working with you guys. And I thought that was pretty insane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we definitely loved that and smacked it up on our website for sure.
Well, very cool and all great stuff. I could probably pick your brain for hours on this stuff. But yeah, so talk a little bit about, like, you know, just in the career of an author, all right, we're at the place where, you know, we've gotten an agent on the hook, we've gotten publishers interested in the title. But even before that, you know, talk a little bit about the platform, the author platform. You know, when does that need to be? And what are we doing? Like, how are we establishing this platform early enough to where it's effective once we get to the place where, you know, we're calling you and saying, hey, we need some help with this stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, I will say that when people call us at Press Shop, they do not always have an author platform, that's for sure. But in an ideal situation, they do. So, you know, there's a number of things. I always say, you know, none of this stuff, building a platform, just doing media outreach, none of the elements of book promotion are fast. You know, it is a job. So you want to really start as early as you can to, you know, to do all of this work. So, you know, going back to the big fat spreadsheet, which, you know, I don't want it to be intimidating because it really, you know, in some ways can be really straightforward. You know, one element is you are going to want to activate all the people in your life and let them know about your work. So that's just one thing where, you know, start connecting any social media you have, start connecting with people more regularly. You know, all of the people that you've worked with, all of the people that you've met at a writer's conference, all the people you met at this academic, you know, retreat, whatever it is. You know, so just really getting into that mindset. I think one thing that authors, you know, a lot of times, very frequently do not like the promotion side of it. And, you know, for years, they didn't have to do it as much as they do now. Now it is absolutely imperative, unless you're famous, or if you aren't famous, but your publisher paid a lot of money for your book, they are going to promote it really actively. You know, if you got a big advance, that is going to translate to a pretty robust in-house campaign because they, you know, they obviously believe it's going to be successful and publishers make all of their money on their successful books. But what happens with a lot of other authors is that the publisher just doesn't have enough time to fully promote all of their authors. So stepping in there and doing that work to make it as easy as possible for the in-house person to help you and support your book is really important. So, you know, other things that you can do, fill out that spreadsheet with people in your field, people that, you know, write about your topic. So say you wrote a book, that's, you know, about the environment, either essays about the environment, or maybe it's more of a prescriptive book. In that spreadsheet, have a tab for all the people that are covering the environment in anywhere you can find. You can, you know, do some straight Google searches. You can look on LinkedIn. You can do some comp title research. Every name that you can find of somebody who is reporting about it, interviewing people about it, you know, advocating, put those in the spreadsheet, because that's something that you can then give to your in-house publicist to work with, or your independent publicist, or if you're planning to do the outreach yourself, if you're self-publishing or there's really no in-house support at all, you're going to want to reach out to those people. And also, you know, try to make them part of your network in the lead up to publication. So you know, in terms of building that platform, say you then go to LinkedIn, make those people, you know, see if you can connect with those people, and then put content onto your LinkedIn, for example, that they're going to find interesting, where they might think, oh, this is a person that is working in this space that has a lot of interesting things to say, that has a point of view. I'm going to pay attention to them. So in that way, you know, adding them to the network, and the earlier you can do that, the better.
Super valuable information, all of it. Of course, I'm going to drop a link to bookpublicityschool.com and talk just a little bit more about what's going on over there, because, you know, you started it to kind of can some of this expertise, the successes of, you know, getting all of this great press, but this expertise and guidance that so many authors can really use to up their game, right? And make it less intimidating, as we noted. Yeah, talk a little bit about these workshops and coaching programs that you offer over there, because it seems like a super important tool for anybody who's just like, all right, well, what's the first step here? How can I best tap into what Leah has been doing for so long?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about doing this for years. You know, Press Shop, we love what we do at Press Shop. But we get so many authors coming to Press Shop that I would absolutely love to work with. But either, you know, we don't have time to take on every project, obviously. And, you know, for some authors, it doesn't make sense to do a full campaign. It's not for everybody. They are expensive. You know, a full press media and event campaign doesn't make sense for every book, for every author. But what does make sense for every book and for every author is, you know, having the author learn how to be the best possible advocate for their book. So a little bit like I was saying before, authors are put in this position now where publishers expect them to do so much in the media space, in social media, just promotion all around, but they are like, well, I don't know how to do that. Like, that's not my expertise. So that's why we launched Book Publicity School. We sort of were like, we can help so many more authors this way, because there's a real need for it. It's a lot of stuff that we, you know, sort of do every day at Press Shop that, you know, to us is just, okay, this is what we do on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Monday. But I don't know why I started with Tuesday, but anyway.
It's a four day week work week.
We do work on Mondays as well. But so that's was sort of the thinking behind Book Publicity School, is to give authors as much information as they can get. It's really hard to be a successful advocate and do work effectively if you don't understand the publishing timelines and protocols and what's needed and, you know, what you should be doing, what you should be asking for, and the media environment. You don't understand sort of, you know, how media has changed, how to position your book, who even to reach out to. Is it okay for me to reach out? Should my publisher reach out? Should I? What should I put on my author website? All of these questions, a lot of authors, you know, have them, and they want to do give their book the best shot they can, but it's really hard to do that if you have limited information on all of that. So that's really what we do. We try to demystify both publishing and media and give really actionable advice for authors to promote their books. And then we give a lot of samples. We give a lot of, you know, sample pitches. We'll be like, oh, hey, this is a book that we worked on for Press Shop. This is the pitch that landed an NPR interview. We do share just resources on how to do that media list building and that rabbit hole digging around that I mentioned. And then we also give feedback. So, you know, one, just as a small example, we'll, you know, show authors some examples of different pitches and then have them try to do their own pitches and put the copy, you know, we have a Facebook group for the workshop, and we'll give feedback and be like, you know what, actually, I think those first two sentences are, you know, they're too general. I think you need to jump right into this. That's a better hook. Why don't you rework it in this way? So it's really hands-on. It's fun. Authors are getting a lot out of it. We do a 6-week intensive. We do that quarterly, and that it is intensive. We go through a lot of information, a lot of feedback, exercises, resources in the private Facebook group. And then we also do an extended program as well, which is a 6-month, support and strategy, sort of a coaching program that includes the 6-week, plus a lot of more one-on-one time with me. There is some one-on-one time with me in the 6-week as well. And then some Ask Me Anythings every other week, resources, a lot more, you know, handholding in the lead up to publication. So we can be a sounding board, a resource, an advocate. In that pretty stressful time for an author, which is when their book, their baby, this thing they've been working on for years, maybe decades, is meeting the world. So it's a stressful time, and the more information you can get and have, the better. It's hard to operate well and with whatever sense of calm you can have if you just don't really understand, you know, what's happening and what you should be doing and when.
Leah, this has been truly enlightening, of course. I'd love to have you back and talk to you more about all the things. But I think this is a great place to wrap. I know that your time is very valuable, and your son probably wants his gaming platform back there.
But thankfully he's at school.
He's at school. Thank goodness. But
Going to yell at me for closing all his tabs. But
sorry, man. you're not going to get your login streak today.
I know.
No, really appreciate you for taking the time to do this. And of course, we're going to link to all your great work there at PressShopPR.com and then BookPublicitySchool.com. To demystify this amazing thing that you guys do, and really do appreciate it. Any last words you just want to leave scribes with on just how to like persevere through, especially this really, as you put it, stressful time? The most important thing that you will do for your baby there is to help to get that message out to the world.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you have to also be kind to yourself, and also when you are doing the outreach, you have to, as much as you possibly can, dissociate from the fact that you are the author. You know, don't take it personally if people don't respond. It happens all the time. Obviously, it's easier when we're doing the outreach. You know, we know that people don't respond after 2 times. We're like, fine, we're trying a 3rd time. And a lot of times it works. So you have to sort of have that mindset of I'm going to reach out, I'm going to follow up. Maybe if you're doing it yourself, maybe you leave it at one follow-up, but always do the follow-ups and just keep on plugging away. Don't take it personally. There are a million reasons why people don't respond. they're on maternity leave and don't have an out of office. They are completely swamped. You have no idea what is going on in their life, in their work balance. So don't take it personally. That is my one bit of advice is to, you know, be kind to yourself and just go forth like you're just advocating for your book and doing what you need to do, but it is not sort of getting past that little piece of armor that you should put up.
Amazing. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect way to wrap. And of course, the bigger the spreadsheet, the better, right?
The bigger, the fatter the spreadsheet, the better. Yes. Big, fat spreadsheet.
Okay. Perfect. Leah, please get back and wrap with us again in the future.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun.
Thanks so much for joining us for this file. And if you're a fan of the show, simply head over to writerfiles.fm for more. That's writerfiles.fm.